The Video Game Review.
It's our pleasure to welcome Artur Plochnik, North American Publishing Director for Wargaming. He's here to talk about how World of Warships is teaming up with Stack Up and helping our veterans and service members via Operation Lifeboat. First of all, Artur Plochnik, am I close?
Yeah, very close. Thanks for having me, by the way.
Is it Polish?
Yeah, I am Polish, yes.
Okay, all right, I guessed it. All right, let's, first of all, before we get into it, I was just thinking, you know, here I am in the San Francisco Bay Area. We are under an order of shelter in place, and we know that in places like in Italy and Spain and other countries, there is a lockdown going down. Have you seen a rise on your servers and a lot more people playing World of Warships right now?
So it's a bit grotesque, but yes, in general, you know, online games are going to surge at least a little bit for when people are you know, quarantined or confined to their homes and to their PCs. So we do not that much, but yes.
Well, I know that you guys, through the sale of a very special limited edition in-game bundle, that Wargaming is looking to raise about $100,000 in donations to help Stack Up. I mentioned Operation Lifeboat. It's it's awareness and funds for 24/7 crisis intervention and mental health support as our troops, because the numbers are very alarming for those who take their own lives when they come home.
Yeah, that's true. So we started this program together with Stack Up, as you mentioned, called Operation Lifeboat. We started it around about a week ago with the goal of raising $100,000 for the Overwatch program that Stack Up is running, to help, you know, raise awareness for veterans and current service members' mental health issues and suicide prevention. And as part of that, we put two bundles into World of Warships, one called Lifeline and then the other one called Life Ring. And almost a week later, we've almost hit that goal. So around about 2 days ago, we had $90,000 raised by our amazing community for Stack Up, for the charity. All the proceeds from those bundles go to them. So, we're confident we're going to meet that goal that we have. And, we'll see how far we actually get and how much money we're going to be able to raise for them.
I think it's amazing, too, that you have a little button there that just basically says, seek help. And you say, well, that's an easy thing to do. Actually, it's not, because a lot of people, they think, well, we're going to water down the gaming experience. That's real estate on the screen. And then a lot of guys and women in our military, they still think very tough, very macho, I don't need help. And it's very easy to just click that button. I think that's a huge thing to put on the game.
Yeah, in general, if you think about games and the way they're designed and structured, not many games have the opportunity to actually do that in a way that wouldn't be harming the play experience that you're giving to your audience, and still make sure that button is available and is visible to people when they need it and when they, you know, are you know, going down the slope or in the dark place that they need to get out of. And we did this because we saw that, first of all, we have a huge veteran community in our game. And we ran a survey on that veteran community, and that survey basically said that a lot of vets and his current service members consider themselves to be gamers, and they consider gaming to be a tool or a mechanism to help them cope with those hardships and those problems that they have to deal with. So in that sense, it felt natural for us to try and embed that button in inside of World of Warships, because it is a place where those people will be seeking to have it, to have that that help and stack up. You know, they're also gamers, and they also provide their help through gaming-related channels like Discord. So that all works together really well. Well, at least we hope it will help a lot of people.
That's outstanding. We're speaking with Artur Plochinek, who is the regional publishing director of World of Warships. Let's talk about the game a little bit. I know that you guys went into St. Petersburg and you bought the Lesta studio almost 10 years ago, I guess. And I think it's great how, you know, when I was a kid, video games were made in Japan or in the United States, and then Europe came in, and now Eastern Europe has come in, and especially with a lot of these big umbrella companies taking things in. What was it about Lesta Studio and beautiful St. Petersburg that was a good fit for wargaming?
Thank you for that question. We don't get asked that very often. And the story is really pretty simple. So as far as I remember, and to be perfectly honest, I can't speak for, you know, the decision making of my CEO. But as far as I know, there were two main components of that. So Lesta Studio used to be a video production company before they went into gaming in the early 90s, and the quality of the video material that they made as a video production quality, and then the quality of the gameplay experience that they developed in their early career kind of meant that they were a potential partner for delivering the kind of experience that Wargaming wanted to have. And at the same time, a lot of people there were also ex-Navy, and St. Petersburg is also the seat of the Soviet and Russian navies. So they had access to a lot of materials to be able to actually work on World of Warships in the detail that we, that Wargaming wanted them to be able to. So all of those factors came together, and it seems that the guys in the studio, they made a great job of it, and we're super happy.
Great stuff. And you know, it's funny, when this came out, and you know, you had you're on Windows, you're on Mac, then we got an iOS version. But then when you went to the PS4 and the Xbox One with Legends, what's that like? Because it's not just a straight port, and people were expecting, you know, the bar was raised high. What was that like going into the console market?
So we didn't want to make a straight port, because ultimately the type of audience and the type of player that does play on console versus the PC is slightly different. The marketing channels and the exposure that you get on console is slightly different as well. So we wanted to streamline the gaming experience of World of Warships specifically for that medium. For, first of all, for the controller, because obviously it's very, very different than playing mouse and keyboard. But thankfully, because World of Warships is such a slow shooter, if you will, it's very conducive to playing it on a pad, because you have enough time to produce your input on the pad. And so it wasn't very difficult to do that, but we had to streamline the experience and kind of match the play time and the progression times to the actual session times that you would be playing on console versus on a PC. The experience was very, very interesting. You also have different opportunities for, you know, streamlining your game, because the hardware is mostly homogenous. You don't have, you know, 10,000 different specifications for whatever personal computer anybody might have, but you have an Xbox and a PS, and they all run the same hardware in the same way, which makes great for stabilizing, and it allows you to also go a bit deeper into, you know, optimizing graphics and other stuff. So it's a very, very interesting experience to go from PC and then work on something like that.
Very interesting. And the other thing too, you talk about tactically and you say slow, but that's the thing. If you're playing a first-person shooter, someone runs by you, you turn around. Well, if you are in a warship, to come about and to turn around is a big deal. And you say, you know, there's a lot of Navy people in St. Petersburg. Well, my dad was in the U.S. Navy, and that's why authenticity is so huge for you guys. Everything has to be legit. Why do you hold that bar so high to make sure that everything is as authentic as you can make it?
Well, you know, it's always, I think it's a factor of two things. One of them is the passion of the team. You know, they want to make a game that's about naval combat, and therefore they want to make it as close to reality as they possibly can. And the other thing is that if we say that that's what we're giving to people as a value proposal for our product, because it's a product and we need to make people buy into it as well, even though it's a free game, then we want to invest into that as well, and we want to make sure that we are giving as much value within that promise of true to life naval combat as we can. Obviously, you know, we have to make some sacrifices as well, so not everything is as realistic as we could have made it, but ultimately it's supposed to be a game, and it's supposed to be delivering entertainment for people within a specific session time and within the time that people have to spend on that type of entertainment. So gameplay needs to come first. But,
you know, I think, yes.
But we found kind of the sweet spot between making sure that it's still an enjoyable game and it does convey, you know, the way that ships behave, that they're slow and they're lumbersome, and that you have to think ahead. You can't make split-second decisions and go, 360 no scope. That doesn't work. It's a game about planning more than just reacting.
Yes, it is a chess match. We just have a couple minutes here. Obviously, no game developers conference out here in San Francisco, which would be going on this week as I speak. And, of course, hopefully we all get through this coronavirus okay. But what are some of the challenges for you as a company? As we mentioned, you're delivering the game online so you can still get it done. But what are some of the challenges that you've had as society is sort of shutting down, hopefully temporarily?
Yeah, so, for us, it depends on the teams. As you said, because we're only delivering an online product, and that means we still, most of our jobs is just done at a PC, so we, as long as there's electricity, we can still keep on doing that, and internet. But there are major challenges in terms of coordinating stuff, so we might see, hopefully not, but we might see delays in our usual patch cycles and update cycles just because of the lag that's right now being introduced as our teams, mostly wholesale, are going to move to a work-from-home schedule. And not everybody has a workstation at home that can support all the applications and support all the work needs that they have. So we are now looking at ways that we can make sure that everybody stays as safe as they can, be, ideally working from home, but still gets their tasks delivered in the amount of time that we have. And then keeping everybody coordinated and informed via, multiple Skype calls, and that's also taking a lot of time from people where normally it might have been done via just a stand-up meeting in a room somewhere.
Right. All right, Arthur, we got to run. That's Artur, I should say, Plochnik Wargaming. Check out stackup.org and, of course, World of Warships. Artur, thanks for everything. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me, guys. Have a great day.
Okay, come on back.